Hello, KCIW listeners, and welcome to Curry Cafe, where we put together a panel of volunteers and guests who discuss various topics from whimsical and fun to more serious subjects.
Hello, Brookings. My name is Ray Gary, and you've tuned into another edition of the Curry Cafe. Curry Cafe, we gather a group of experts together to discuss just about any subject you can think of. And today we're going to be talking about the problems at the Mexican border. And I've gathered, as always, a group of experts who will probably solve the problem in about an hour. So let's get started by introducing ourselves.
That was just Ray Gary introducing himself. And this is Shirley Hyatt. And to my left is
Billy Ruth Furuichi.
Frank John Coley.
Okay. Now, in order to research this project, I watched my favorite news show the other night, The Daily Show, and they had a correspondence down there at the border in, what's the name of the town? Something about an Eagle Pass. And he was interviewing people in the community, and they were very concerned, said, yes, we have an invasion going on here. You can't eat in a restaurant. You can't get a room in a hotel. You can't find a place to park. And I'm thinking, why are immigrants affecting that? Well, they interviewed two or three people, and then what they finally determined was the invasion was all these news people and politicians from other states that have nothing to do with it, and people coming down to take care of the problem. And in fact, they were the problem as far as the Eagle Pass people were concerned.
That's interesting.
But I think there probably was some migrants there too, but that was not the idea of that story. But
well, I didn't do any research on this subject, but I am very interested to know what people think about quotas and how we got to a place where everybody is saying, it's broken, it's broken, it's broken. So what was the intention? Does anybody have some reality to touch base with? What was the original intention of allowing people to migrate into the country and the rules that were established that everybody says, oh, it's broken?
Well, this, of course, has been generations in the making.
So what was the original intent? Is there a rule that's been broken? Is there a statute that's been broken?
The original intent was to populate the country.
And yeah.
I don't think any of us here are indigenous, so all of our forefathers or whatever came here from someplace.
And we also needed people to work the fields after slavery was abolished. And the slaves, the former slaves, a lot of them moved north and they didn't work the fields. And
migrant workers.
The migrant workers. So we've got migrant workers who came into California to pick grapes and strawberries and all of the things that—
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes. And all of the crops that our people didn't want to do the work. It's backbending work. It's backbreaking work.
Yeah.
During World War II, actually brought people in and then flew them out. There was the famous plane crash at El Gato Canyon, was it?
Oh.
Killed a whole bunch of immigrants.
And you remember Joan Baez's song, Deportees? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's been a long time in the making, surely. It's not a brand new problem.
You know, in my personal opinion, you know, it is that you can say it with one word, is what changed everything. Drugs. That's what did it. The cartels run the other side of the border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we are the biggest consumers of hard drugs on the whole planet. 90% of all drugs that are manufactured, we're the ones sucking them up. So we're feeding the demon. In my opinion, this is destroying the country. They're running the government and everything else over there. I mean, that's what's happened. I grew up with migrant kids and workers. We were farmers in the Central Valley of California.
Yeah.
You know, we had a dairy farm and had 300 acres. We were growing crops. I can remember my Italian grandfather and my father back in those days. You went to Stockton, which was 20 miles up to the road. You went out to the fairgrounds where the migrant workers came in from Mexico with their green cards. They had camps that, you know, there were Quonset huts set up and kitchens and everything.
And they were legal workers.
Correct. One of our family members, was part of the food processing for feed. So you would go there, they'd drive up, You talk to a labor contractor, oh, yeah, we got 100 acres of tomatoes to pick. Okay, you're going to need this many men. Boom, 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 boom. They'd agree on a price. The labor contractor would show up at the ranch on a, with a bus with his workers. They'd work. They'd get fed. They'd be getting, they'd go back to where they were, you know, back to the processing center where they were located at. And eventually, you know, they'd leave and go home. And primarily the largest percentage of those migrant workers were Hispanics and Filipinos, especially a lot of Filipino workers when you were growing asparagus.
We're not talking about migrant workers.
That's migrant workers.
No, but I'm talking about coming across the border. And
but it's a completely different form that, that they had to fill out to be a migrant worker. The illegal immigration maybe does have a lot to do with
well,
the cartels.
I want to go back to, John, I want to go back to what you were saying about the drugs coming in, that America is the biggest consumer. Why do you think that is? I mean, if that is in truth, the
why is it the biggest consumer?
Why are there so many people who are willing to pay money for drugs and get hooked into that?
Number one,
it
all comes, you know, when you don't, and Ray would attest to this too, you know, when you don't have laws, you have a lawless society. And so we don't have strict enough laws in place. You know, if you got caught with a half a gram of cocaine, you're going to go to prison for 10 years. There's no parole. And here's your cuppy, here's your blankie. And that's the way that's going to go down.
No, but, I'm asking why there's such a great demand for people to take the drugs in the first place. Why are we?
The feeling you get from it, the high you get from it. Just like, why do people drink alcohol until they get a buzz? I don't use any, I mean, I don't drink, I don't smoke. But I mean, it's for the high.
Or to reduce the pain after surgery.
And then
you get
too
hooked on it because especially the fentanyl, which is pain reducer.
Then you get hooked on prescription drugs. Yeah, that's a whole other story.
You get hooked on
I think the people bringing drugs, and not what we're talking about here, in spite of what our fearless ex-leader says, the people that are coming in across the borders now, I don't think any of those are drug mules or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I lived for a while in a friend of mine's property that was not far from the border, and there was regular trails going through the desert. Mm-hmm. Well, I would walk my dog every morning on.
Sure.
And these were people bringing in, from what I understand, primarily marijuana. But they would come in, and then they had a little place that they met that was about 50 yards from where I had my motorhome parked. And I don't know if they got picked up by other people or what, but you could tell them when they'd been there the night before because it was empty cookie packages and they wore certain shoes that didn't leave tracks and those were left behind. And these people weren't bothering anybody. I don't know what kind of drugs they were bringing in, but for some reason or other, I thought it was primarily marijuana. And I would walk my dog and it would see like five agents every morning in our two-mile walk. And there was a border patrol, there was sheriff, there was somebody else, and they were all dressed up like they're going to war in flak jackets and everything. I happened to be standing on the top of a mountain one day waiting for the sun to get just the right position I could take a picture. And one of the agents came up to me, and we started chatting. And I told him, I said, I'm a former police officer, and I can see where this job would be incredible fun. You're hunting for people. Wow, this would be a great job. But it's basically a victimless crime, isn't it? Bringing marijuana in. He kind of didn't exactly agree with me, but he said his way of looking at it was, he's got a job to do, and they got a job to do, and you both try your best to do your job.
How long ago was this? 20 years?
No.
Recently?
Five.
Oh, not long ago.
That's
six
interesting.
Years. Before you moved up here?
No. I was
vacationing.
No, I hadn't lived here, actually. This was a whole different situation than down on the border, Eagle Pass, and places like that where they're coming across in huge crowds. But anyway, the farmers and everybody used to complain about these people. You know, if they were crossing my land and made their path, I would put up a sign, Benavitos, and however you say it in Spanish, please.
Bienvenidos.
Huh?
Bienvenidos.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, you have a Spanish-speaking.
If you have a ranch on the border, it's a different story. I've got a good friend who's, they've been there for 120 years. We're talking about that same type of border yes. situation. And he says, you know, when we're not here, our homes get broken into. You got people coming in, man. These poor guys are starving already.
Yes.
They don't have any clothes. They don't have any money. They're not all bad. You know, I mean, there's this.
They're escaping terrible situations in Nicaragua and Venezuela. They're not necessarily all bad.
The biggest number of people that came across, 46%, were from Honduras,
Honduras, Guatemala,
and Mexico. Mm-hmm. That's the deal. So you get up, all you got to do is put your feet in the dirt. Once you're here, claim asylum, 24 to 72 hours, you go to processing. If you have children with you and you have a family, then it's like, okay, you get released because we don't want to keep care of your kids. And here's a letter. Hopefully you'll show up in court, immigration court.
Well, it's very different now with thousands of people at the border wanting to come in every day. About 15,000.
No, 3,000.
Oh, well, all
right. There was 100,441 just last month, and there was 189,000 encounters. Those are the actual numbers.
So, okay, why are those people coming here?
Well, that was...
Why are they dragging their little three-year-old girls along with them?
Their coyotes have told them that they will have a better life if they come here. And the coyotes convince them that if they will cross the border, they will have a good life. The coyotes collect like, what, $2,000-$4,000 per family.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times they just leave them at the border.
Or it's terrible.
It's not the immigrants' fault. It's not the people's fault who are trying to come up here and get a better life. It's the coyotes.
What's the life they're leaving?
They're leaving.
You know, we hear in the news that there are gangs and all kinds of violent, terrible, horrible situations in their own country.
Yes,
and they're literally
yes.
They're seeking asylum from a dangerous situation.
They're leaving a life that's completely abusive to them and their families, and they can't feed their families. They can't go out and get a job because they've been prevented to by the gangs in their own country.
I wonder how many people are taken in legitimately to Mexico.
450,000 to seek asylum from whatever situation it is on the legal side.
Shirley means from different countries.
No, I was saying, how many people are seeking to stay in Mexico as opposed to seeking to come here?
I mean, four.
Is Mexico? I mean, I haven't been.
Well, she might have a point there.
I know there's a lot of people who live in nice sections of Mexico.
Mexico's a beautiful place to live.
Yeah,
I've lived in Mexico for many years, and if you know how to stay away from the cartels,
you know where to live. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, would you have anything if you were living there, having your little business or doing whatever, retired? Would you have concern about cartels?
If I were in Mexico,
yes.
Oh, I would. I would definitely live in a place where I knew it was safe. And I have a Mexican family, so they'd help me get around in Mexico.
When I first retired, it was my dream to drive my motorhome down into Mexico.
Ooh, I wouldn't do that by yourself.
Well, we went into, what's the little fork they're called?
Baja.
Baja, yes. And we told people we were going. A lot of them said, aren't you afraid to go there? What kind of gun are you bringing and all this?
Oh, gosh, I would.
No, I'm not afraid. I have to drive through L.A. to get to Mexico. I'm not afraid of Mexico at all. And at that time, at least, going into Baja was pretty safe.
Yeah.
The only scary thing about being in Baja was you're driving along the road, the main road, and all of a sudden you come up on like
a roadblock.
Five or six people in Jeeps. And they all look like they're 14 years old to me, with machine guns and everything, and they're stopping this.
Yep.
And if I hadn't read about it beforehand, I would have been terrified. But they just, they didn't want to come in and pet the dog, basically.
It's like, hey, you need X amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
To pay the toll. Make sure when you go ahead, you tell the next guys that stopped that you already paid number one.
And you don't know whether
two, whatever
you don't know whether they're federales
they're
just people that have uniforms and guns.
100%.
Because they're all in cahoots. So it's difficult to tell.
And it's all controlled by
the
cartels.
Cartels, yeah.
They run the country.
So escaping that kind of lifestyle, in whether it's from Honduras or Nicaragua or Mexico, I can understand why some people would want to come. I have a friend who shall remain nameless, and I won't tell you where he lives, but he walked from Mexico when he was 14 years old. He walked with his uncle from Mexico, from the mountains in the middle of Mexico, all the way to Oregon. And he ended up in a place in Oregon where he and his uncle got a job at a restaurant with the correct documentation so they could file their taxes.
There you go.
There's a specific form they use to file their taxes as undocumented workers. And he worked, he went to high school, he got enrolled in high school, finished high school, went to college. Did all the right things, became a dreamer. Oh no, we told him, don't become a dreamer because you never know if that's going to be honored later on. So he didn't become a dreamer. He could have.
Did he become a citizen?
No. He is still working as an undocumented worker. And he's 30 years old now. He's got a family, and of course, his kids are American.
Sure. Well, that's the key, too.
A couple of years ago, PBS had a program. I don't know if the whole program was about this guy, but he was some heart surgeon who had come up with some incredible heart surgeon things to save lives. Very famous, very well known. And during the program, he admitted that he's an illegal. And that's how we got here, and he somehow or other got into college. And
we call them undocumented.
But speaking of undocumented and undocumented workers, I have a chart here that was provided.
Yes, I can see it.
What?
I can see it. Can
it's like
you
a very nice
it?
Chart, Ray.
And what does the chart say, Ray?
Yeah,
well,
tell us.
The chart doesn't say anything. You have to read it. Okay.
What would you say
anyway,
about the chart?
Anyway, the industries most reliant on undocumented workers: agriculture, 17%, construction, 13%, leisure hospitality, 9%, business services, 7%, manufacturing, 6%. So some of the, I would think manufacturing would be higher. Agriculture is not a surprise at all.
I thought it'd be higher.
The countries in the country, one of the states in the Southeast put up some very difficult barriers for illegals or migrants to come in, and they found out at harvest season didn't have anybody to pick their harvests.
Right.
And in construction, a lot of construction workers are complaining about their jobs are being taken. Well, in the construction business, for instance, building a house, you know, a carpenter is a skilled profession. That's, you have to know what you're doing. But there are a lot of semi-skilled or unskilled jobs that people were getting paid good money for instance, putting up sheetrock, things like that.
Well, I have a great idea. Why don't we employ all of those people to build the wall? I mean, seriously, building the wall seems to be the answer, you know? Like, who's going to build the wall, and why are we building the wall, and where will it be, and how come the wall that was supposed to get built and, of course, Mexico would pay for it.
And never did.
What will the wall, if we did have a wall, where would that wall be? And what would purpose would it really serve if people got that far and then they couldn't get past that wall? I'm serious. This is something that I've thought about because it seems like people say, well, just build the wall. That'll take care of it. And I'm like, well, how exactly will that take care of it? Then those people will find a way to get over the wall or under the wall or
under it.
Is it
tunnels?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a solution?
Well, back to your original premise of why don't we pay them to build the wall? We would probably have to. They'd have to be trained in a lot of construction.
Yeah, but seriously,
technique.
I'm asking a serious question. Is the wall, building a wall, going to take care of a lot of the problem that people say? The reason that people come in is because we don't have a wall. And I'm just wondering if that anybody agrees with that.
Well, it worked out for China for 1,200 years.
You know,
but tunnels will
easy
be,
to say,
tunnels
the
will be built under
easy to say, let's build a wall.
Yeah.
But that's that. causes a lot of problems. People who own land is coming across their private land.
Yep.
Just lots of things, and the environmental factor of animal migration, lots of problems with the wall.
Or going the wall, what part of the wall would have to be right down the middle of the river?
Yeah.
You know.
No, that was the wall was nothing.
No, I'm, it's not.
Really,
it's
I'm
not
curious a, if people think that that is the answer.
It was a political. It was a political problem
stunt.
For people who were looking at quick, easy, so-called political answers. Speaking of politics, now recently the Democrats and Republicans actually got together on something and came up with a very good bill.
Senator Langford was one of the, and he's a Republican from where, Oklahoma? No, am I wrong about that? I've got it here in my email. But Senator Langford was one of the main writers of that. It was a bipartisan bill to put forth.
Yes.
For everyone to vote on, and everyone was in total agreement with what was, well, not everyone. A lot of people on both sides were in agreement with this 2024 immigration reform bill. And then when it came right down to it, it was rejected because it would solve too many problems, according to the previous...
It would make Biden look good.
It would make Biden look good, and the former predecessor to Biden told everybody, don't.
I don't know if you watched the State of the
Union. Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
I only watched portions of it, but yeah. When Biden was explaining it, that senator you just referred to was mouthing the words, that's true.
Yep, yeah. Senator Langford absolutely agreed.
I think that's a big problem. It's getting off the subject a little bit that we have in this country, that we have somebody who isn't even in office anymore and, in fact, has got dozens of indictments waiting for him, did an absolutely awful job when he was president.
Well, he's
almost like his entire staff has been indicted or in prison or someplace. So this is how we drained the swamp.
And he's acting
but he
like
still
a de facto
has incredible
president.
Power because yeah. we don't mm-hmm. have any politicians
yeah.
who have the guts to stand up to do their job. The job
they're
is to represent
afraid,
the people.
They're afraid of him.
What? Why?
Why?
Because he'll start saying, a lot of people are saying that you are this and that and the next thing, and he'll ruin their careers.
Well, people
well,
are
obviously
standing up to the bully. I mean, that's the
well,
bottom
that's
line.
He's, yeah, yeah.
You let him get away with it. Anyway, getting back to how to solve the problem, it seems to me that initially I wanted to address
we're not
how many
solve
people
this problem today.
No, how many people are legitimately allowed to come in, get their work permit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all being overwhelmed, not because of us necessarily, but because of the people who leave their countries and want to come here because they feel it will be better for them. And so it's like two sides of the coin. There are people saying, well, we need immigration. We need people to come in because we need more people in this so-called workforce. We need the people who do all the work, the dirty work that we don't want to do, so-called. So there's a line to be drawn somewhere. And is there any solution to this beyond paying people not to come in, you know, so stay in your own country. We'll give you money to stay there.
Who does that?
No, I'm just saying, what is the answer? You know, they're leaving because they can't make a living where they are, or they're being threatened.
They would be
by...
killed if they stayed where they were.
Yeah,
why were the numbers so much lower when Crazy was in the office?
They weren't necessarily. No.
They probably weren't.
They weren't.
Or you think that's
all
BS?
You really cannot believe anything that's said by that side.
Good.
It just
well, you really can't believe anything any politician says in
moment. Well, no, but this goes beyond that.
I mean,
he can't even tell the truth about where his father was born. Yeah, his father was born in a nice little village in Germany called Staten Island.
Yeah. He's part Native American Indian.
No, he never said that.
Well, I want to bring up another point that somebody addressed the other day, and I thought, yeah, we've got two borders. I mean, actually, we've got a border with Canada. We never hear anything about that, but you do have to pass through. Anybody who's ever gone into Canada, you can't get in there without a passport. You can't get in there without being stopped, et cetera, et cetera. How many people do you think really make it from the southern border and across America and get into Canada, for example. It seems like Canada has very strong border rules about who comes into the country. Now, who can get into Canada? Well, people who can get across into Alaska, et cetera, are they having a problem? Why are we having the problem on our border?
We're right on the border. I mean, in order for people from Central America and South America or Mexico to get into Canada, they would have to come through us.
But people come on a plane from another country also. So it isn't just, is it just the border or is it immigration that we're talking about?
I found it, I used to travel twice a year, the border, Canada. And I found it a whole lot easier to get into Canada than get back into my own country. They were not nice. They weren't polite. They were just, as an example, I pull up to the thing there where the guy in the uniform is. Where are you going? I said, I don't know. I'm just going to be driving around for the rest of the winter. Nope, you have to have a place you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
is this when you're entering Canada?
No, I don't. I'm an American. I'm going to America. I'll go everywhere.
That's coming from Canada back
in. I knew that would not do me any good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I've heard that more than once, man, about that situation you're dealing with, right? Coming back into the States after you went to Canada.
Yeah.
It was not a good experience.
I'm an American citizen. I'm retired. I'm not, don't look like I'm going to kill anybody or anything. I had a hell of a time getting back into my own country.
Do you think?
And sometimes it would just, I don't know, being vindictive or I don't know what. I was going home into Alaska, right? And mm-hmm. every year it seemed like they changed what you could bring or what you couldn't bring. Mm-hmm. And I had a bag of oranges that I had just bought in Canada.
Yeah.
And they had to confiscate the oranges because you can't bring oranges into Alaska.
Well, California.
I said, are you afraid that I'm going to ruin the Alaska orange crop?
No, California has those same kinds of rules. It has to do with pests that live inside
I guarantee you, I could have brought the pestiest orange in the world into Alaska, and it would not have affected the agriculture one bit.
Not with those mosquitoes.
Yeah.
There is something, though, that might be said about individual discretion on the part of the border patrol mm-hmm. agent, who might look at someone and say, gee, look like you might be
his hair criminal. Is over his ears. He's a liberal. Mm. Don't like
yeah,
him.
You're a big risk. Anybody
could be a risk, too.
That's the only reason. Yeah.
That is. It's absolutely individual discretion in many.
Getting back to the original subject, what plans have been put forth that we, the people who were born and raised here, but whose ancestors came from Sweden, for example, what are we actually looking at? Is there any kind of a plan that's been put forth that we know about?
Yes, here. Senator Langford and the bipartisan committee put forth a bill for the 2024 immigration reform. Now, I could read you part of this bill, which if you're willing to listen, I mean, there's...
Well, my question is, does it limit the number of people coming in?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
What it says?
The Border Patrol Union endorsed that bill. They said it would be a good idea.
Yes. And, there are limits, and I could find it. I had it when
ex-president who is putting these little four-year-old girls holding onto the mother's skirt as they swim across the river, putting all these people's life in danger. He's making the life harder and harder for them just so he can remain in power. I mean, that's the only reason that bill was denied.
That's the only reason it was blocked. He just wants Biden to look bad.
But
the bill is a very good...
Much.
The bill is a very good start.
In my book. It cost me $110 to fill my gas, truck with gas.
Right.
I had a young kid the other day tell me that was installing my cable. He goes, I just had to pay $47 for a bag of groceries.
That's not his fault.
That's not Biden's fault, and this is not the topic either. It's not what we're talking about.
Administration's in power. Mm. Okay.
Well, let's see what we could disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, but Frank, what you're talking about, and I do understand, you know, these things are volatile to talk about, but, you know, the person sitting at the head of state, the person who's there, yes, they have the final word.
Sure.
But there are so many other influences that are pulling at them all the time.
I wouldn't want the job.
No, it's horrible.
I think you need to respect who's ever in the seat. I don't care what party they're
in. Yes, you do.
That's your
Absolutely.
President, you know? Okay, next, stay on topic.
Okay. Well, you know, I really want to bring up this fact that there is a specific form that undocumented workers use to file their own to file taxes and pay the IRS a good amount of money, and they also pay into Social Security. Do you think they'll ever get anything out of that? No.
But
the government collects all of their taxes.
Well, Billy, when I was managing an apartment complex, I was surprised that we were allowing people to come in who were not citizens and to live on the property. And I said, wait a minute. This is not an American citizen. But the reason that they're allowed is because they have a tax ID number,
yes,
which means that if you're
right.
living and working here and paying taxes, that is the answer.
That's what I was just talking about.
Yeah. So if people are here who are not American citizens, but they have a tax ID number and they do pay taxes,
yes,
et cetera,
that's what I was talking about.
Then what is our major complaint about having people come in? What is the major complaint? And, you know, Frank, I know you say...
Wait a minute, it's the bad guys that are coming.
Right.
You don't understand. We have criminals. We have rapists.
Well,
we have murderers. We have people from insane asylums mental institutions.
I think we have cannibals.
They're poisoning our blood.
Oh, well, that's...
Don't you ever watch...
crazy land.
Ray,
television?
Can we try to tone down the... if we start giving that sort of rhetoric any kind of credence over the airways, that then people will think that you really believe that.
Well, people have to use their brains to think that's
but
the
I
problem.
Th- people don't use their brains, and this is part of the problem. I think part of the problem
but
is that
wait a
kind
minute.
Of
Just
rhetoric.
Okay, suppose there are cannibals coming in.
We could do a Netflix series about it. I could write the script.
And anyway, speaking
of
the people coming in, I've just been handed by one of our assistants here.
Excellent.
Criminal convictions rated by immigration status in Texas. Okay, hold on. I have to. Criminal convictions.
On the southern
by immigration status.
Oh, okay.
Criminal convictions by immigration status.
Yes. Hmm.
And if you could reiterate, because I kind of lost the point.
I'm kind of lost too. Why don't I call our assistant into the microphone who handed me this information?
No, I think one of our technical experts will
get that microphone away
that,
from Frankie.
I think, yeah.
I was able to locate our research assistant, Rick, and he's going to go over those crime statistics.
Yeah.
That seemed to confuse me.
Sorry for the brief interruption. So these criminal conviction rates by immigration status in Texas 2015, now these are per 100,000 residents of each population. So per 100,000 residents, crimes committed. Natives, 1,794.
Excuse me, natives?
Our folks.
Native American.
Native
American.
Doesn't mean a...
No.
Native, in Alaska, native means indigenous.
No. Yeah, no. You're
American.
Not
in America. Okay.
Okay, so Americans. 1,794. Illegal immigrants, 782. All immigrants, 458. Legal immigrants, 262. Thank you.
Well, but what was the time frame on that?
2015.
Well, 2015?
2015, that year.
Mm. Oh, that's almost 10 years ago, though.
Well, I'd like to see more recent numbers on that. That would be an interesting comparison to make with what happened in 2015 as compared to 2024. I'm sure they've collected some statistics on that now. But I'm sure that they're not too much different from what happened then. I would imagine that the immigrants that are coming over and that are being processed right now are not committing crimes. I mean, I just can't imagine that they're over here waiting for their court dates committing crimes. It doesn't make sense that
doesn't
they would be
quite,
doing that.
It doesn't compute.
No, it doesn't compute.
Well, you're not going to show up to court if you're a criminal. I'm just, you know, like mm-hmm. you said, you know, so good mm-hmm. people, you know,
you have hopefully, to talk.
Good yeah. people hopefully will show up to that court date.
Yeah.
But that's part of it too. You know, you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting for your court date. It's the process. You know, figure out a way to make it happen quickly.
Part,
you know what I mean? I can go over here and buy a gun. I'm just saying, you know, they do a background check. I'm a good citizen. I've never been in trouble for anything. FBI check. Okay, here you go and away you go. I mean, that happens pretty quick. Why can't we do it that way? Well, this is, you know, you don't have any, of course, you don't have any background to check on them here. They're coming from a foreign country.
That background check takes less than 2 minutes, and it's very poorly done. It's not anything at all.
Gotcha. You mean on the...
Buy a gun, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, the point I was trying to make is if the idea that these people are a drain on society, I was trying to make the point of if they're actually working and paying taxes, then they're not a drain on society.
Exactly.
They're actually contributing.
Exactly.
They contribute a lot to Social Security that they'll never see.
That they will never see. Yes.
That's true, but what I'm getting back to is why people are so anti, and Frank, you brought it up. You said because so many people are bringing drugs. That's different from the...
Gotcha. Well, they paid over $1 billion in taxes. I mean, put another $7 billion into the economy.
So they take jobs. They take jobs that a lot of our...
And we spent $400 billion to, like, keep everything the status quo. So those numbers don't make sense to me.
Billy, you've lived in that part of the world. Is there something that could be done to make life better for these people so they don't want to leave?
I haven't lived in Nicaragua or...
you have an understanding.
Ecuador or... any of the places that I haven't lived in the slums of the city.
Right.
I have, but I will tell you that when I was living in Mexico City, one of the people I was dancing with invited me to dinner one Sunday, and he took me to dinner to his family's house, who happened to live in the slums of Mexico City, the barrios. And the houses, they had 10 roofs. Corrugated tin roofs, cardboard for the walls, no floors, all dirt floors, but they were, you know, they were living very comfortably as those people live in terms of, now this was granted long, long, long ago, but even in those days, Chicharro was his name, which means little pea. I don't know why he got a nickname like that, but Chicharro said, now, Billy, I'm going to take you into an area of Mexico City that you must not go by yourself. And he was very, very clear of where I should go in Mexico City and where I shouldn't go. Yes, there are a lot.
That's true any place in the world, I think.
Well that's true.
I want to ask you on that point, is that poverty-driven? Is that...
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course it's poverty-driven.
Okay,
and it's maintained by the government. There is no middle class. In those days, there was no middle class in Mexico City at all. I think there is now, but it was more of the absolutely wealthiest of the wealthy and then the lowest of the low. There was
there's a class system.
Very much.
And there's also just what? People just don't find a way to rise above that?
No way to rise above that.
People also wanting to come into... this country?
No, well, they weren't thinking about leaving because they were very...
They're used to it.
They're used to it. And they were happy. What's happy? It's relative.
My father used to go over with a good friend of his compadre over here, who was a big Mexican contractor in California, mm-hmm. who had family down there.
Mm-hmm.
But they would, you know, they'd always bring a lot of groceries over, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, son, these people are... He goes, everybody's so happy. And he goes, we're talking dirt floors, just like mm-hmm. you said,
yeah.
tin roofs.
Yeah.
You know, little girls and boys in bright white little outfits.
Yeah.
all clean.
Yep.
You know, everybody's happy, smiling, doing their thing. You know, rice and beans and chicanas and your dinners and everything. When you see that, when you're in that type of poverty situation, but you see how people don't want to leave it. You think they do a lot because that's all they know.
And
they're happy with the way it is, you know?
But but when it gets to the point where the cartels come in and they take over and they extort every penny that poor little family is making,
sure.
And then that's when the atrocities begin.
And so those victims are the ones who want to come and live in this country because they believe they will be treated fairly.
Who knows what they believe? And they don't have any iPhones to check out whether it's safe to try to come across or not. You know, they just believe what the coyotes are telling them.
Get $20,000 and we'll bring your whole family.
And we'll take your whole family across and then you can live.
Where do they get this kind of money? That seems like a lot of money.
Where do they get that kind of money if they're so poverty stricken?
Well, a lot of them just scrape and save.
You know, whatever they have, you can be this is what I'd heard from a law enforcement buddy of mine. So you're on that side, you show up, you're from Colombia. Here you are with your little wife and your children trying to escape what's going over there. You hook up with a cartel member. You don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to help you. We're going to hit you up with this coyote. They're just going to do the thing. You know, what's going to cost you? How much you got? You got $10,000.
Yeah, take it
off. That's
all
we have.
Or if you don't have the money.
Excuse me, 1 second,
please. I'm sorry.
$10,000, you're going to take it all. Okay, well, don't worry about that. He goes, I'll tell you what. Carry these packages across for us. They're all going to be going in different directions.
Yeah.
Okay. And once you get over there, we'll work it out how you're going to pay us the rest of the money.
Mm-hmm.
They're hooked up.
Yeah.
Now they're working for the cartel.
Exactly.
In the United States. I mean, how often does that happen?
Well, that's
quite
often.
Is there a large amount of good people that get across that aren't into that? Surely. But a big percentage now, that's why I say the difference is hard drugs and dope, you know, to where they're coming across. You know, you're just a little family. You want to get into America.
And that's the only way you can pay for it.
And that's the only way you can do it. What can you do? Carry this in for us. You know, I mean, how terrible.
How do
is
you
that?
Enforce that kind of situation?
You know what? You don't want to hear my deal. My situation would be if I was king for a weekend.
Yeah.
Mexico would not like what I would do. I'll tell you right that. The Qatar cartels wouldn't.
Would you get the cannibals first?
Who ran the government? Let me tell you what's going on here, Mr. President. What? The American Armed Forces are going to be coming into your country and straightening this thing out. And anything that gets in our way, well.
Oh, good.
You would consider start
a war.
You got to go after the cartels.
That's the reason we don't have kings.
They're not. Yeah, but that's another.
They're
like their country, and they're within, and we're funding the demon. Okay, get back on track.
Well, it seems like we're just kind of spinning our wheels, so to speak, but. The states that are actually being the most affected by having people come in that they don't want there, they're not going through the
Texas.
Legal processes. So we're talking about California, Arizona, Texas.
Southern border.
Well, those states, but those people coming in, they don't stay necessarily in those border states, do they? They go to...
Migrate to other...
They
migrate
to
where they have family.
Or to where they can find a job.
Mm-hmm.
You come in in Texas, you're going to be shipped to New York.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Wherever.
I'd be curious to know about, you know, the busloads of people, for example, that were taken to Martha's Vineyard or... You know, is that where they were?
I think they were flown because you can't.
A lot of places.
If you go into a place like Martha's Vineyard, you want to go by plane. You don't want to go by bus.
Well, at any rate, what happened to these people? I mean, how?
Well, that's a whole topic.
It was done as sort of an in your face action to say, oh, you want immigrants here? I'll give you some.
A lot of them are being taken care of by families who come forth and say, I'm going to take care of all of these people. They get together. Communities have gotten together in Martha's Vineyard and in New York, all the places where they've been
sent.
So
those people, point being, those people were not put back on another plane and sent back again.
No,
so,
they're waiting for their
so they were allowed to do that.
If there isn't, I forget what the word is, reparation?
Reparation.
You know, I think Honduras was okay with that. And the country you're dealing with has to be able to do that. Venezuela did it for a while, then they stopped. Then they load up the ICE planes. It's what we pay for again, with ICE guys and flying back to their own country. What happens over there after that? I don't know.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, if you're trying to get people back to a country that they're escaping from, and they don't take folks back.
And you know, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a really horrible part of that whole thing.
Heartbreaking.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm going to break in and read something that I have here because this is not a problem we're going to solve in an hour discussion. I have here that I think this is from, I can't remember what site this is from, but I'm reading here. Mexican immigration to the U.S. dates back to the end of the Mexican-American War. Migrant encounters at the U.S.-Mexican border began to surge in late 2020, reaching a record number of 1.73 million migrant encounters in a fiscal year of 2021, and more to 2.8 million in fiscal year 2023. The migrants, who are mostly of Guatemalan, El Salvadorian, Honduran, Nicaraguan, and Venezuelan citizenship, are reported to be escaping economic hardship, gang violence, environmental disaster in their home countries. The number of migrant encounters, and it goes on and on and on. This is a problem that we've been dealing with since the Mexican-American War. And many, in fact, I think in 2006, there was a comprehensive immigration reform act that was passed in 2006. And then it had a 5-year, I think, what they call sunset. So after 5 years, it went underground and it wasn't active anymore. So they put these bills forward, they sunset after 5 years. And then they have to start all over again to try to negotiate a new bill. Those are our people in Washington who seem to know what they're doing. And yet they haven't been able to come to terms. And I'll tell you why I think they haven't been able to come to terms with this. Because INS and IRS don't want to talk to each other. The IRS collects their taxes. The INS wants to go do their thing and put them in camps.
You know,
they don't want to talk to each other. They don't want to solve the problem.
Well, and there's another part of this, which it probably is not in great huge numbers, but there are people who hire these desperate people,
right,
to clean their houses, to take care of their gardens, to tend their children, to cook in the kitchen, to do all the menial work, and they're so grateful to have something to do and a roof over their heads that they're not demanding as much money as, say, a regular person would do. It's like, I think this is one of the funniest and saddest, sort of like a cartoon about this. Oh, those darn immigrants, you know, if it weren't for them, I'd be out there plowing that field. I'd be out there picking that, you know,
I'd be out there taking care of my own kids.
They took my job away from me.
I was in shock when in my senior year in high school, I found out that I could not feasibly follow the career path that I had lined out for myself. I realized that because I was a white American, there was no way I could pick grapes for a living.
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
Isn't that sad?
Just the entire career path that I had lined out for myself.
Yeah. But Shirley has a good point, because it's the people who hire illegal immigrants, they are also breaking the law.
Well, I have a friend,
but they're getting a benefit.
And they're getting a benefit. They don't want to admit that they're hiring.
I have a friend whose family has a business. I won't say anything more than that about it. In not southern, more like the San Francisco area, California. All the employees are illegal. And my friend admits, he says, there's no way we could run this business
without
the wages.
That's true.
Like that.
Yeah.
Undocumented.
Yeah. Undocumented.
And evidently, according to my friend, he lives in an area where INS doesn't go because all the businesses there are pretty much operated by undocumented
illegals. Workers, yeah. So we are indenturing these quote-unquote undocumented workers are becoming the slave force for America.
Slaves never got paid.
And well.
I mean, if we're talking about, we really want to talk about slaves, if you're going to use that term, slaves, folks are getting paid. And a lot of, and it's not like all of them aren't being paid well. I mean, as far as, okay, you're working in the field, well, whatever the going rate is, whether you walk in there, you're a white guy, you're a Filipino guy, you're documented or you're undocumented. You know, farm workers with good labor contractors and working for these big farms, they're getting paid.
Well,
you got to have you want these people to work, man. These guys are, you know.
But what if they're like 12 and 13 and 14 years old and they're working in the slaughterhouses? Okay, they're getting paid what, $2.50 an hour, and they're working in a slaughterhouse, and they're 12 or 13 or 14 years old.
California, there's no 12-year-olds working.
Well, there are a lot that are working in the slaughterhouses and they're basically slaves. Yeah.
Well, we're arguing about different kinds of things. The whole idea is what should we be doing with people who are sitting on the other side of our wall, our country, whatever, saying, we want to come in, and we're saying, no, you can't. You know, go away. Well, there's no place for them to go.
Well, you're not saying no, you can't, though.
Pardon me?
Phil, you're not saying no, you can't. You're not saying no, you can't to the people that fill out the proper documentation. And there's 450,000 a year. You know what I mean? They're coming in, whether they're escaping countries and terrible situations. So we can't use that. I don't like hearing that phrase, well, what about the people that can't? We're not letting them in. We are letting them in. Here's a procedure to get into the country.
Well,
you know, maybe it isn't as quick as it should be, and maybe it needs to be reworked totally, but there is a way to get into America if you follow the proper procedure. That's just, you know.
No, I think maybe what I was trying to refer to is how many people are being held on the other side of the border in whatever encampments, etc.
So if you're coming in from Guatemala and you have to fill out the proper paperwork, and you're just crossing the river or whatever. What is it? Do you go up to the closest border worker and say, I want to fill out my paperwork?
Or, you get in line, you get in the queue.
That's several thousand people long.
That's 10,000 long. If you look at the images on TV and look at all of the people that are waiting in line to do the proper thing, like you're saying, Frank, just to fill out the paperwork that you're talking about, they're basically sitting there as homeless groups of people waiting to go to the front of the line and fill out the forms.
Now, who should take care of those people?
Yeah, exactly.
Mexico.
Mexico or yeah, wherever they came.
I mean, we're letting you in here. We're getting you get up here. We'll process the paperwork. Sorry, there's 10,000 of you in line to do it, but there's only so many of us, you know. What's Mexico doing for you since you're coming up here?
Well, part of the immigration reform, the bipartisan immigration reform thing that Langford put through, and nobody took it up, part of that had a system for expediting that paperwork and making it, putting a limit on how many people could come in. Everything was there.
So for political reasons, for one person, we don't want to change that system. We don't want to make the border crossings better, look better, because he's using it as a political tool. Telling us about the vampires and cannibals that are coming.
Let me ask you something, Raymond. Since you were in law enforcement, okay? I mean, if it was up to you, what would you suggest?
Oh, it's way too vast.
Where to start?
I don't know enough about it.
I know it's
more than a knee-jerk,
quick fix
reaction, like being king and going in and doing whatever you said you were going to do with this. We need to deal with it in a civilized way. I have no idea what that is.
I'll tell you what comes to my mind.
Use the armed forces. You're a knee-jerk. Okay.
No, I'll tell you what comes to my mind. There were endless numbers of people who at some point in time in the past got in their little covered wagons with their family, and they crossed the plains, and they set up communities, and they built cities. I mean, let's face it, all of the cities and the prairies, et cetera, yes, don't get into the Native American part of this right now to say how awful that was. But the point is, I keep thinking, why don't we just sort of like take some some barren land, for lack of a better word, and build communities instead of incorporating everybody into the cities. Create some new cities. I mean, create some new communities in areas that are not overpopulated.
And they would have to be built. They'd have to be built by someone.
Well, that's
then there has to be employment there. There has to be everything that goes. I mean, you can't just go out in the desert and say,
"Well,
let's start putting up skyscrapers." Somebody has
skyscrapers, basically. But I'm just saying,
it doesn't matter what you don't want. The people might want them.
Well, but that's how the West was won, so to speak.
You've got a good point.
Yeah,
I hate that term. I hate that. Who was it won from?
It was from the
those people who weren't doing anything. Yeah. All they're doing is
shall that be our next topic of discussion next week?
I think
you have a water source.
Yeah,
you have a food source.
Water
you have to grow a food source.
Well, but that's so but that's what people did. That's
100%.
So,
I don't think that's such a bad idea.
No, I don't either, Shirley.
I'll propose
it. Go to work on that, Shirley.
Yeah, that's better than just putting them in concentration camps, which is about to happen if we're not careful. Yeah.
No, that's kind of
there's if you look at YouTube and you will find out that there's a lot of Walmart stores that are closing up, and they're closing up to be used as internment camps for people. Yeah, and there are tunnels between the different ones.
I want to know why they're closing up.
I don't know. I didn't watch the YouTube thing till the end.
Okay.
They're being closed up for the government so that the government can store these people.
You can't believe everything you watch on YouTube.
Theory.
Are you telling me that this stuff on YouTube is
not true? Gosh, golly. Yeah.
It's hard to separate the truth.
Speaking of not true and the border, not too long ago, one of the local sites where people get to talk to each other, this woman had wrote in, if you want to know what's really going on the border, watch Fox News.
Wait a minute.
This post was put in the same week that Fox News had to pay $750 million in retribution for lying. But this
people
woman
are
just
still thought sucked
Fox
in.
News would have the real information.
People still believe Fox News. I know. It's crazy. It's just a entertainment.
Watch the Daily Show will give you the straight skinny on everything.
Oh, dear.
Well, anyway, we have not solved the problem, but I think it is something that, I don't know, does anybody write to their senator or?
Sometimes Senate? I do, yeah.
Yep.
What writes me?
What do we want to have happen?
We're closing in on the last minute here, so if anybody has any
final
statements they want to make, or I don't know, a bicycle you want to sell or whatever,
do your research and get out and vote.
Okay. Get out and vote is the and write to your congressman and your senator.
Yeah,
absolutely. We just have to keep in touch with them because they're not going to do anything unless we force them into it.
Support live music.
I was just going to say, Frankie, if you want to plug your show, go ahead.
Play music.
Oh,
what nights are you playing at Kuntai?
I'm going to be there next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And for the Steelheads, just go to themightysteelheads.com. That'll tell you what we're gigging.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
And when is Shirley playing again at
Kuntai? Right.
I don't have the date in front of me, but it'll be on a Saturday in April, third Saturday maybe.
And there.
Look it up.
Oh,
anyway,
awesome.
Music is the answer, right, Frank?
I think music is the answer.
That's what it says right there.
Yep. Yeah. Music is the answer.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's all about the music.
Are we over time?
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. He can adjust this a little bit. Okay. Well,
thank you.
That wraps up another incredibly informative show, and we'll see you next time.
You.